هون لگل اس بی اس رادیو بشی کردینا.
Rojda is a tattoo artist who goes by the handle Elu Ayana. With Kurdish roots from Dersim and having lived in multiple countries abroad, she has drawn inspiration all over the world. But with a keen focus on daq, or traditional Kurdish tattoos, it inevitably comes back to her Kurdish ancestry. Rojda, welcome to the Kurdish program on SBS Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Before we begin, could you tell us about how you got into the titillating world of tattooing and how long you have been permanently bestowing art onto other people?
Tattooing has been on my mind since I am little. I don't know exactly where it came from, but it's been in the back of my mind, something that has been calling me for a long time. So when I finished school, I explored tattooing by myself a bit. Quite difficult to enter the Western tattoo industry due to financial reasons, but also the way tattooing was showed to me was something that I didn't really connect to like that. So for a couple of years, I tattooed just a little here and there, just some friends, a lot of practice just to make sure that before I tattooed somebody, I knew what I was doing. Eventually, I traveled to Asia, where I started to learn about traditional tattooing, because they have the bamboo tattoo technique there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, yeah, before we tattooed with machines, we used to tattoo by hand.
Of course.
And that is actually the root of tattooing, traditional tattooing. So then I switched to tattooing by hand. And after I switched to tattooing by hand, I started to look up what my ancestors used to do and what tattoos we used to have. And then I came across a traditional deck tattoos, and I discovered that it was something that naturally unfolded for me. So I used to, for example, paint my face with henna, and I used to paint certain dots into my face, and it was just something that came up to my mind, and I just did it. And then after I looked up the traditional tattoos, I realized that we had the exact same dots tattooed. So it was something that really just naturally unfolded for me, as if it was meant for me to get on this journey of tattooing traditionally by hand.
Having lived abroad and having Kurdish ancestry yourself, you design and tattoo very unique patterns. Where do you draw your inspiration from?
My inspiration is mostly the traditional deck tattoos. They relate to the universe, to the to nature, to human themselves. And for me, I'm inspired by that which is around me as well.
Now, you've said that you've taken an esoteric focus on daq, and it's a traditional Kurdish format common in Southwest Asia and Northern African regions also, though some would say that these are fading into history. So how did you develop and or research daq?
So the research is actually quite difficult. In the whole world currently, there's only one book available on traditional daq tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
There has been two other ones, but they're off the market, and I can't even find the authors to contact. It is difficult. Honestly, for me personally, it has been a research in four different languages to get bits and pieces online somewhere and put them together. But also, yeah, relating to different cultures where more information is given. For example, on the Amazigh people from North Africa, they have the traditional tattooing as well. And it relates a lot. We have some of the common symbols. No matter where we go, they're ancestrally very similar. And the traditional deck tattoos, they say that you can find them in tombs and cave walls. It traces back a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And also, these symbols trace back to like the beliefs of animism, Taoism, Buddhism. So just studying different religions, different symbols, have helped me to put the dots together and understand a bit more. But honestly, it's also, I think, a lifelong journey for me to discover, rediscover, and re-remember what these symbols mean.
Coming from a Kurdish background and growing up in a diaspora would always be an endearing challenge. So what does it feel like to keep these traditions alive?
Yeah, being part of the diaspora definitely feels like living in between worlds. Yeah, I think it's in my nature to be traveling, to be nomadic, to be discovering and remembering. So for me to be able to practice this art form is a way of connecting to my roots. It's finding myself home within my roots, honoring where I come from. And I think tattooing or symbols itself, it's like the ancestor of communication. So for me, this is a pathway to connect to where I come from, especially as being diaspora and sometimes feeling like parts of me are missing because I grew up somewhere else, and where I grew up, I don't really fit in either. So this is my way of finding myself, finding a place within this world. I feel like that is authentic me because it comes from what was before me.
And of course, many other Kurdish diaspora are finding themselves as well. This used to be such a common practice within the early parts of the last century. Can this now regain popularity today?
I believe so, yeah. I think maybe it is even easier for the diaspora to pick up these practices again than for, let's say, for example, for people in Turkey. Just because of religion making this practice forbidden or shameful. And I think outside, for the diaspora, it's easier to honor these practices again. Yeah, I don't believe honestly that it's a lost tradition, because I've connected to people that know people still in the villages in southern Turkey that are still tattooing these symbols as well. It's maybe not as common anymore, but I don't think it's lost.
Of course, and the format of the dak is quite different to typical tattooing formats, which is by machine. This one is by the stick and poke method. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Traditionally, it is done by hand using breast milk from a mother that gave birth to a girl, because this was supposed to bring luck. It was used with animal gall and charcoal or lamp black, and it was mixed together. And then there's different ways of how in the tattoos would be marked then. Some say that the mixture was spread over the skin and then pricked into. Some say it was pricked and then the suit was put onto the tattoo. I would say that probably it was more that the mixture was put onto the, drawn onto the skin, and then poked jot by jot, which is a very much more intentional practice, as each dot is done by hand. It's a very more intimate practice. I would say it's an exchange of energy. And in the Western tattoo industry, it's very much a service. It's very much just an image that's under your skin. While I think in the ancient practice of it, there's much more that comes under your skin than just the ink. And I think people were quite aware of this back in the time when they were marking themselves, identifying themselves, telling a story through their bodies. And I think, yeah, they use these holy symbols to turn their bodies into temples.
And finally, as you mentioned, that there are many different aspects of Kurdish dak symbolism, ranging from agricultural to cosmological to even dot work. Do you have a personal favorite?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I think my favorite symbol that I relate to is the symbol of fertility, just because fertility and life, you know, maybe not just necessarily connected to women and the womb, but just fertility and life, just the energy of creation, of possibility, of openness, of change. I think that is something I connect to the most.
Thank you very much for your time today. We wish you the utmost success in the future endeavors.
Thank you so much for providing your space and providing a platform to share my journey. I'm really in gratitude. Thank you.
گرایره لسر اپو پودکاست، گوگل پودکاست، سپوتفای یا لهر کیویک پودکاست کاند بدست دهینید.